Good evening, everyone. I'm Lenore Moudou. Welcome to Health Chat. The World Health Organization says deaths from the coronavirus epidemic have surpassed 1,000. The development comes as some 300 scientists, public health agencies, ministries of health and research funders convene for an expert two-day meeting at the WHO to share the latest information about the virus and decide how best to confront it. There is no vaccine to prevent against the disease and no proven treatment. China is reporting over 42,000 confirmed cases. The virus has spread to countries over the world. During a visit with coronavirus patients at a Beijing hospital Monday, President Xi Jinping called for more decisive measures to contain the outbreak. In Africa, efforts are underway to prepare for a possible outbreak of the coronavirus. VOA's Lisa Schlein spoke with Dr. Matshidiso Moeti, WHO Regional Director for Africa, and has this report.
The novel coronavirus has been moving with breathtaking speed since it was first detected in China's Wuhan city in December. While this pneumonia-like illness has been expanding to more countries around the world, it so far has not penetrated Africa. This is of little comfort to WHO Regional Director for Africa, Matshidiso Moeti. She tells VOA, watching the virus reach other continents around the world is of great concern.
We know that there is quite significant travel of people from China to Africa and back. So business people, both Chinese people working in different African countries, and we have an intense travel of African business people, particularly going to China. So we are concerned.
Moeti says her team has begun working with member states to help them get ready for the possible onset of the coronavirus. She says WHO is providing overall guidance to ministers of health on how to manage possible cases and prevent further spread of the disease. She says the experience gained in tackling the Ebola epidemic in the Democratic Republic of the Congo can be applied to a possible outbreak of the coronavirus on the continent.
We recognize that our countries have invested quite a bit in preparedness for the ongoing Ebola outbreak in the DRC. And we are seeing that in some of the key areas, that readiness is being now deployed in relation to this coronavirus outbreak.
WHO has identified 13 top priority African countries, which either have direct links or a high volume of travel to China. They include important hubs in countries such as Angola, Ethiopia, Kenya, Uganda, and Zambia. Moeti says screening methods developed to detect people who might carry the Ebola virus are now being deployed at airport points of entry to spot people who might be carriers of the coronavirus. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has announced that the foundation will provide up to $100 million to the 2019 novel coronavirus response in Africa and South Asia. To find out more, I spoke to Mark Sussman, CEO of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Take a listen.
Health is we are able to move very quickly and responsively, and that's why we took the steps we did.
Okay. Now, talk to us about how the funds will be disbursed. You touched on it a little bit. To what extent are priorities similar or different in Africa versus Asia?
Well, in Asia, the epidemic is already a full-blown epidemic. And so in Asia, and certainly in China, which is where the focus of our work has been, you know, there needs to be, or there is already intense focus on, you know, can you provide, you know, the right equipment and supplies to frontline workers who are, in many cases, certainly close to the epicenter, being rapidly overwhelmed? Can we help sort of support with private companies, with the World Health Organization and others, the accelerated search for treatments and ultimately a vaccine? In Africa, it's more about, you know, helping put in place, which has actually been happening rapidly over the last week, inclusive. A sort of network, and we've been supporting, for example, a group called the African Field Epidemiology Network, which works in collaboration with the Africa Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, to both, you know, provide and equip countries with the proper diagnostics and testing, and to put in place emergency operation plans for, you know, if and when the coronavirus is detected and proven on the continent, that countries will be able to respond rapidly by and try to prevent any further transmission, so we don't see a replication of what happened in China.
So in this dynamic, what is the role of governments on the continent of Africa?
Well, governments have the primary role. So in the end, governments have a core responsibility to protect public health. And so they need to be the first, but of course, in terms of having put in place emergency plans. You always hope emergency plans are not needed to be put in use, but you need to have them so you can respond quickly and effectively. And that includes, as part of those plans, making sure that you have, you know, equipment, training, linkages back to global centers of excellence, all put in place ahead of time or in real time, which is what is actually happening right now. So governments need to take the lead. And the other responsibility, though, and equally important, is to stay focused on prudent science and follow the guidelines of the World Health Organization. And so that's the short-term response. And then there's an even more important long-term response, which is make sure that you are investing properly in your own public health systems, because this coronavirus epidemic is yet another example. The Ebola virus of a few years ago was similar in showing what happens when those investments are not made. The risks are much, much higher.
It's you mentioned the Ebola virus. What could you say that are the lessons learned from that outbreak, and that can be perhaps avoided or replicated in this case?
Well, the long-term lesson is the one I just referred to. You, it's the importance of putting in place strong surveillance systems so you can, you know, detect outbreaks right when they start, because the best form of treatment is prevention. That is always true in any public health care. If you can prevent a dramatically large outbreak, and that requires robust systems that detect it and then, you know, treat it at source. And that we learned the hard way in the Ebola virus, where that, you know, didn't happen, and many of the affected countries in sub-Saharan Africa were not equipped. Now, the difference with Ebola is less transmissible than the coronavirus. It's more fatal, but less transmissible. The coronavirus is proving to be very transmissible. We still don't know fully how fatal it is. Currently, around 2% of cases has been fatal, but the real number may end up being smaller or larger than that. We just don't know. But the main lesson that we have learned over again is the importance of investing in prevention. And that includes not just public health, but also in initiatives like the Coalition for Pandemic Preparedness Initiative, which is something that we have supported along with the Wellcome Trust, which is another foundation based in the UK, and several governments, to invest proactively in vaccines for what are the most likely future outbreaks.
Now, communities and citizens are very concerned with this outbreak, rightfully so, as well as experts in this case. What do you think that communities and citizens can play as a role to really contribute in this global response at their level?
The answer to that depends on where you are. Obviously, you know, what citizens are having to do in Wuhan and central China is different from what citizens are to do where there are still only a handful of cases. The first is don't panic. The second is, observe your normal, you know, prudent behavior for what you would do in any normal flu season. You know, make sure you wash your hands frequently or things. But, you know, really at this stage, it's a response for the public health authorities, global and national. It's not really a sort of citizen-led response. And I hope we are putting enough protective steps in place right now that, you know, outside of China, we're not going to see that kind of rapidly spreading epidemic. But we will know whether that happens or not in the coming weeks and months.
Now, part of the funding will be allocated in research and development to find a vaccine and a cure. But as experts say, developing vaccines and cures can take time. In this case, what are the prospects that we may see a vaccine or a treatment for coronavirus sooner rather than later, actually?
You're right. You know, global health science and research and development is difficult and tricky. You know, we're moving on a very accelerated timeline, and you look at different interventions at each step. You know, so getting to a full vaccine will likely take a little longer, but there are already multiple potential treatments, including quite innovative treatments, being looked at and being tested in real time, mostly in China. And again, there are these sort of early preventative steps. So when we talk about the research and development, it's about the full range of research and development. It's not just the vaccine what we want to end up with, because vaccines are the most effective public health interventions. You know, they prevent outbreaks completely when they're fully successful. But in this case, our R&D and the work we're doing with that organization, I talked to you about the Coalition for Endemic Preparedness Innovations, is looking for gaps and trying to incentivize product development, whether it's in the biotechnology space, whether it's pharmaceuticals, to provide sort of safe, effective, and widely available products for both treatment and ultimately long-term cure and prevention through a vaccine.
And would you elaborate a little bit on the collaboration between the foundation and others involved in fighting the outbreak? I know you mentioned the network. You also mentioned the African CDC, the WHO. Could you please give us a little more specifics?
We are a foundation. You know, we're not a. We work on global health, but we are not a public health initiative. What we are able to do is disperse resources, and we have access to often some deep technical knowledge in areas like epidemiological modeling in some of the technical capacities. But really, we think it is the official authorities with the mandate that need to do, which are consensus for disease control and like the epidemic. Our job is to give the resources to them and allow them to make the allocations to where they see the highest impact interventions. You know, it's not our role as the foundation to prescribe that. They're really the experts, and we are providing the resources and the technical advice where we can.
Okay. And before we wrap, do you see this outbreak getting worse before it gets better?
Really, we don't know. I mean, the numbers, you have seen the numbers as well as I have. It's clearly already got worse than we hoped as recently as 10 days ago. But it's still not clear whether it really will get significantly worse, or whether these steps that we have been putting in place in the last days and weeks are going to be enough to contain it from being a full-fledged global pandemic. And so I wouldn't want to actually predict one way or the other, other than being very clear that this is a serious global health emergency, and that's why the WHO has declared it. But our hope is that, you know, we will minimize the long-term impact in terms of the human health and also the sort of wider knock-on socioeconomic impacts.
And any final thoughts?
The only final thought is to say that, you know, maybe ending where I started, this crisis will ultimately be ended sooner or later, and we very much hope sooner. But we also hope and believe, and as the Gates Foundation, you will see us advocating vigorously, that let's not wait for the next crisis in order to do the cycle again. Let's make sure that as a world we are investing properly and fully in epidemic preparedness and in strong, robust public health systems in Africa and across the world that help make sure that, you know, future outbreaks are not as dangerous.
Mark Sussman, CEO of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Great. Thank you very much.
It's time to take a short break. We'll be right back after this.
Escape from the humdrum and dance to the beat of an African drum. Hi, I am David Van, host of the Voice of America's African Beat. Splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. Join me Monday through Friday at 0900 and 2000 UTC for a soothing musical gem. I guarantee it.
African Beats.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late tonight, we are taking a look at the coronavirus outbreak. Let's go now to South Africa, where China's ambassador to South Africa discussed the outbreak. VOA's Anita Powell reports.
The best thing Africans can do about the spread of coronavirus, says China's ambassador to South Africa, is to remain calm and stay put. The respiratory virus has now affected more than 14,500 people across 23 countries, according to the World Health Organization. Most cases, and most of the more than 300 deaths, have occurred in China, where the virus originated last year. As fears spread globally, Ambassador Lin Songqiang sought to soothe frayed nerves Monday in South Africa's capital.
We have no choice but to work together to win the battle against this virus and bring them under our control. And that is our suggestion, we hope. American friend, the European Union, all the developed countries, you are free, reassured, and relaxed. China is safe. We have shown the capacity and resources is strong enough to bring this disease, the coronavirus, under our control as soon as possible.
More than 3,000 South African nationals reside in China, and the ambassador advised them and others to remain in place. Several countries, including Australia, Britain, Japan, and the United States, have repatriated their citizens, which Chinese officials say may only spread the infection. Health officials say the virus can spread from close contact with infected people.
All the foreigners, including the American people who are in China, they are the friends of China. They are the guests of China. They are our people, our friends. So I'd like to advise them, trust China. Give the hand to us. Give us confidence and strength and solidarity. Stay well in the community, in the village, at home, in the university, you are safe. In case something happens, the system is working.
The ambassador also noted that all newly arrived visitors from China are being monitored and screened, although he did not say how many people that involved. He noted, however, that the embassy is advising all travelers from China to remain home for their first week, monitor their health, and keep in contact with the embassy. Additionally, South Africa's government has implemented temperature testing and health screening at the continent's busiest airport. The nation's health minister has assured the population that the government has contingency plans in place, including designated treatment facilities and a 24-hour hotline. Anita Powell, VOA News, Pretoria.
As we mentioned, health authorities in Africa are scrambling to prepare for a potential outbreak of the coronavirus. In South Africa, health officials say the country is taking preventive steps to ensure that the virus does not become a national threat. Professor Cheryl Cohen, co-head of the Center for Respiratory Disease and Meningitis at the National Institute for Communicable Diseases in South Africa, explains.
In South Africa, really, we have been closely monitoring the situation right from the first small reports of cases in Wuhan. And really, we've seen the evolution of this to be really a global situation. And of course, you know, as part of that, we've been really stepping up our preparedness in the event of an outbreak. I think up to date, you know, the worrying trend is that despite really attempts at very strong control measures to be implemented by a number of different countries, to date, really, the trend is still reflecting increasing case numbers, both within China, but also in more countries affected. And within those countries, we are starting to see a local transmission of the virus, which is obviously concerning.
South Africa, according to report that we received, is adequately prepared. Can you tell us what does it mean concretely on the ground?
I think what was fortunate is that we'd really been monitoring the situation from the beginning. So when we realized this was an international concern, we were quite quick to really, the first thing we did was issue guidance to clinicians in terms of what is the case definition and what are the signs and symptoms to look out for. And then, you know, really having practical processes for isolation of cases, treatment of cases, and guidance on making the diagnosis. And also as part of that, you know, really strengthening the surveillance at the ports of entry, which we know is not 100%. People can be incubating and still come into the country, but that's also an important part to try and collect or identify cases early. I think another really important part for South Africa was getting our laboratory up and running to do the diagnostic test. And obviously in the early stages of an outbreak like this with a completely new virus, you know, there aren't just tests that you can buy off the shelf. We were very fortunate that some laboratories quite early developed the test and published that test. So they made the procedures available. And then our lab worked really hard, you know, overnights and weekends to get that protocol and then to procure the reagents and validate the assay in our laboratory. And I think it's really helpful that we have this assay running in country so that we can provide a rapid diagnosis and exclude possible cases. Which is really helpful.
So you have dealt with surveillance, dealing with control of respiratory diseases. When you see what is happening now, what would be important for you to know about the current pattern, the trend of this particular coronavirus?
Yeah, so I think that's really important. And you know, what is heartening is that there is data coming out all the time from China. So one of the very important things is how infectious is this virus, how transmissible it is. There have now been some publications that sort of put the reproductive number between 2 and 3. So that gives us an indication. Also, what we call the doubling time, so how long it takes for one case to go to 2, to go to 4, which is around a week. That's very helpful for us to understand at what rate we expect to see the increase. And also, if we have an intervention that's working, that it might take a bit of time before we see the numbers come down. To me, right now, the most critical piece of information that is lacking and is difficult to get is proper information on how severe this illness is. So we do have numbers of cases reported from China and numbers of deaths, but we know that this type of information can overestimate the mortality rate because it's really only amongst those tested that you are seeing the deaths, and often it's the more severe cases that are tested first. So we don't really have a true handle on how many people in China are actually infected and amongst those, you know, what the case fatality ratio is. And I think, you know, in terms of thinking about the possible global impact of this virus, that would be really a critical piece of information, but really quite difficult for scientists to get as well.
What are your thoughts in terms of moving forward? South Africa is ready, but Africa in general, how much of a concern is it?
Yeah, I think it is a big concern. I think, you know, not only for Africa, but for the whole world, the reports that are coming out, particularly the wide range of symptoms and that people can be very mildly ill and that very mildly ill people can transmit on is concerning in terms of, you know, obviously it's much more difficult to identify mildly ill people and quarantine them. So, and also the fact that in countries, very developed and well-resourced countries, there are still, you know, secondary cases. Obviously this is concerning to those of us in countries like South Africa, we haven't yet had a case, you know, because we can see that very well-resourced countries are clearly, you know, it's difficult to contain this virus. I think, you know, currently the World Health Organization is following the strategy of containment. In other words, they believe that the global health community can contain this virus, and we have to pursue this and be, you know, positively focused on this. But obviously, a part of our planning, we also have to be thinking about, you know, should there be a time that we move away from containment to mitigation, which is really about reducing the impact of the virus. And you know, we've seen from other viruses like influenza, the countries that are worst impacted in terms of outcomes from pneumonia mortality with these pandemic viruses are those that experience a higher baseline mortality. So clearly, Africa, you know, which is the area of the world with the highest rates of pneumonia-associated mortality, is a special risk area, and I think it does need a lot of focus in terms of strengthening of resources, because you know, often these trends would track, you know, the other kinds of pneumonia, the normal pneumonias that we see every day.
Okay, Professor Cohen, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
We travel now to West Africa. In Dakar, Senegal's international airport is taking steps to prevent the coronavirus from entering the country after the first suspected case in Africa was flagged in January, but deemed not to be coronavirus. But while the suspected case in Ivory Coast test is negative, Senegal's Blaise Diagne Airport, West Africa's busiest regional airport, is preparing just in case. Estelle Njonjo reports from Dakar.
Airport Sanitary Control Coordinator Keina Kema is in charge of preventing the spread of illness into Senegal. Since the outbreak of the new coronavirus in China, Senegal has deployed airport medical teams to help with prevention.
It's a thermal camera which the Ministry of Health and Social Action has put in place to be able to control the passengers who come to the airport. So the thermal camera is a temperature detector.
The medical team was deployed during 2014 Ebola outbreak in neighboring Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone. Senegal's measures were effective as only one case of Ebola made it into the country and the deadly virus spread no further. These steps will also work against the coronavirus, say airport authorities who have set up rooms to isolate sick travelers.
Nous disposons en réalité de deux types d'espace, un espace de quarantaine et un espace d'isolement.
We have two types of rooms.
La différence, c'est que l'espace de quarantaine est réservé aux personnes qui ont pu être exposées à des circonstances de contamination d'une maladie déterminée, mais qui ne présente pas encore de signes physiques et qui ne présente pas non plus de signes détectables par la technologie.
Dakar has no direct flights from Asia, so the risk of coronavirus is low. But the airport, which opened in 2017, is eager to show it is ready, just in case.
Ce qui nous importe essentiellement, c'est la continuité de l'activité de l'aéroport.
What essentially matters
pour cela,
to us
nous avons mis en place un plan que nous allons déployer auprès de nos employés. D'abord, il est important que nos employés soient à l'abri de la contamination, mais aussi avec tous les partenaires du site. J'entends par là les restaurateurs, les magasins, les sociétés de services et d'assistance aux avions, de manière à ce que nous puissions assurer la continuité d'activité aéroportuaire si, malheureusement, le virus arrive au Sénégal.
Meanwhile, authorities ask that anyone arriving with a cough and high fever to go to the nearest health center. It's still dangerous for VOA News.
We remain in West Africa. Officials in Abuja, Nigeria, have shut down a Chinese operated market due to concerns about the coronavirus. Timothy Obiezu reports.
The aisles and checkout area of the Chinese-operated Panda supermarket in Abuja are usually packed with shoppers. But all were empty Friday, 2 days after officials of Nigeria's Federal Competition and Consumer Protection Commission, FCCPC, raided and shut down the market. The head of the commission, Babatunde Irukera, says the market was closed down due to concern about imported products that could carry the coronavirus.
The operatives in the place admitted that, yes, those things were imported from China. Our suspicion is not whether those products that we saw there are hosts or carriers of the virus, but it was more for the fact that there is a potential for a risk.
More than 170 people have been killed since the virus was confirmed in the city of Wuhan, China, and more than 7,000 others who are infected are fighting symptoms including fever and respiratory difficulties. So far, there have been no confirmed cases of the coronavirus on the African continent. But head of the Nigerian Center for Disease Control, Chike Ihekwazu, says the government is not taking any chances.
The first thing we're doing is learning every day about critical aspects of the virus, how it is transmitted, how many people die from it, how many severe cases it causes. There's new information coming out every day. We're working closely with them to identify specific control measures for controlling the outbreak, but also to advise governments on what to do in terms of trade, travel, and all of that.
Officials of the supermarket declined to comment on the shutdown. Meanwhile, Irukera of the FCCPC says the regulatory agency has plans to visit other Chinese-run businesses in Nigeria that may pose a risk of the virus.
We've identified some locations in Lagos that we've also been reaching to try and stop the supply of this product. As a larger plan, I know that customs on more sensitive alert, the port authorities, the Ministry of Health.
The World Health Organization has declared the coronavirus a global emergency. Nigerian health authorities have begun screening Chinese nationals entering Nigeria and also urged citizens traveling to China to suspend their trips indefinitely. Timothy Obiezu for VOA News, Abuja.
And that's our show for today. Thanks to all of you for joining us. I'm your host, Linor Mudu in Washington, with producer Dan Brown and engineer Holly. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.
This is VOA News. I'm Diane.